May we be helped to commence our worship of God this evening, singing together hymn 302, hymn 302 to the tune Hull 714. Now read the first verse and we'll commence singing from the second. If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night, a worldly crowd to din thine ears, and crowds of unbelieving fears to hide him from thy sight. Commencing to sing at the second verse, hymn 302, tune Hull 714.
Thank you. together from the most holy word of God, from Jeremiah's prophecy in the 31st chapter. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, let us go up to Zion, unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations. Declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, a lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up, away marks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use his speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountain of holiness, and there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen, and they that go forth with the flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked, and beheld, my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel, and the house of Judah, with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that, like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge, but every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth a sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves are uproar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me for ever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananiel, unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall go yet go forth over against it upon the hill of Gareb, and shall compass about to Goath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies, and of the ashes, and of all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more for ever. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that portion of his most holy word and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, once again, through thy loving kindness and thy tender mercies, thou hast enabled to be found in thy courts this night, this little corner of thy vineyard. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. And all that might be found amongst those that are found, yes, by thy drawing, black indeed, but comely, because thou hast a purpose of grace toward them. Draw me and we'll run after thee. That drawing by thy sweet resistless grace. Sweet resistless grace, is it not because that one has been brought to see what his need is? He's a sinner. He has need of thy grace, of thy mercy, of thy salvation. He has need of Christ, and all that might be found amongst those that know yet what it is to have our ear bore to the doorpost and come up to thy house like those Greeks of old. Sir, we would see Jesus, a living desire, a true hunger and thirst after thee and after thy righteousness. All thou knowest how many years we've came and went to thy house. Came and went to thy house, and we did it again and again, Sabbath by Sabbath, and sometimes in the week evening, for those years. And yet we saw no beauty in Christ. We saw no beauty in Christ, for we had no need of Christ. We had no need of that salvation. We had no knowledge that we were servants of Satan, servants of the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan. For we were dead, unconcerned, unmoved. And we came and went, until thou didst in thy good time and way. Yes, and what a mercy. Thou art able to change the heart and renew the will. That seed which thou dost sow in the heart, that good seed of thy grace, of thy word. Oh, what a mercy. It is good seed. And in that ground which thou hast prepared, it shall work. For thy word, and thou dost declare in thy word, it is, I will work. Nothing can hinder it. Satan can't bring it to naught. And neither can the poor sinner himself, as he rebels perhaps against it for a start. Rebels against it. But oh, even the poor sinner himself cannot prevent it. And oh, I will work. And who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? And thou dost work. Thou dost work. And thou dost work in this one and that one's heart. And from every nation, kindred and tongue, so it shall be. So it shall be. And so it shall be that time when thou dost sow in their hearts, in that prepared ground which thou hast prepared, as thou dost break up the heart and marble of their heart, and truly change the heart and all its desire, and thou dost sow the seed. That seed which will take deep root downward. Ah, yes, and what a mercy, deep root downward. And is it not like that grafting, and he's grafted into the living vine, which is Christ? It is not grafted into anything, but are grafted into the living vine. And that which thou dost sow in the heart, it is that of the heavenly planting. And so it will bring forth fruit. Ah, yes, it will, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. But bring fruit, forth fruit it will. And so we plead that we might be found amongst the planting of the Lord. May we be found amongst those that bring forth fruit. Ah, those fruits meet for repentance. Those fruits, yes, that show forth thy praise. Those fruits that show forth whom we serve. Ah, we look at our poor lives and we see there's much that still shows we at times serve those things of time and sense and Satan, and those things which the world serves. Oh, how solemn indeed. We go after other gods. We're no different than the children of Israel of old. They went a-whoring after the gods of the nations round about, and so do we. But oh, will they not chasten and bring back? And blessed be God, if we're plants of thy choosing, of thy planting, thou wilt chasten, yes, thou wilt. Thou wilt be that one that will refine them in the refiner's fire, and there will be that chastening known and felt. And they shall see, shall they not, that it is all in covenant love and not in anger. Not in anger. And some as we trust we proved it so, the chastenings of the Lord. Ah, the fiery furnaces, that which is necessary. And oh, at times we wonder what will be left. But thy word declares us it not, I'll bring a third part through the fire. A third part through the fire. Oh, not what we think, a larger part, or we may think, well, we've done well in this, or done well in that, in serving our God, or seeking to do that which is right. But thou dost look upon the heart, and thou dost try the ways. And yes, thou knowest the pride and naughtiness of our heart. Ah, yes, and that which we may perceive to be according to thy leading. But oh, sometimes we have to prove this. It's in the pride and naughtiness of our heart. But oh, thou dost chasten, and thou dost bring back to that true repentance and godly sorrow. Ah, yes, the husbandman will do that which is necessary to bring that plant of his choosing and his planting. He'll bring it to that fruition, that it might be like that shock of corn, that ear of corn, but collectively perhaps in that way, if it's 100-fold, yes, when we think of the wheat plant and its tillers, it produces a number of ears. Produces a number of ears from one seed that was sown. May it please thee then, we might be, yes, wrought upon by thee as plants of thy choosing. And yes, it may be those times when thou wilt chasten or dig us about and dung us. Or yes, those times when thou wilt take the pruning a hook or knife to the plant and take out that which is unnecessary. A third part thou wilt bring through the fire. But blessed be God, thou art that good husbandman. And everything that thou dost, it will be for our eternal good, our soul's good. And it shall be for thine honour and thy glory, that thy name should have all the praise. And all when we think of the wheat, those years ago when we used to be involved with that, ah, what a mercy, that sample that thou dost beat out, it will be a perfect sample. made fit for heaven. Ah, yes, all the husks and all the outer part all removed. And just that grain which the husbandman has carefully tended to, the heavenly husbandman hath carefully attended to and brought it to that time of harvest and gathered it in. All the solemnity of it, as we thought upon those things this morning. Ah, let them grow up together. Let them grow up together. Ah, but there's as the reapers were sent in, they were sent in to pull up and to pull off and to seek to gather for destruction the tares. Oh, the solemnity of it, of no use. In fact, as we said this morning, the tares in a great quantity, if they find it finds itself into the wheat sample and then into bread, it can be poisonous. But oh, thou wilt not bring anything in. There will be that perfect sifting and sieving out. And yes, a perfect pulling up of that which is no more than the tear. And they will be cast out onto that fire which shall never be quenched. But thou wilt gather in to thy heavenly garner all that thou, has brought to that point of harvest. Not one shall be lost. Nothing shall be left or discarded. That which thou hast purposed with a purpose of grace shall be brought home to glory at last. And so we plead to be pleased to take us each in hand and lead us each forth in that right way. We might go to that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. Leave us not to a form which hath no power. Leave us not to just go in and out of thy courts like the door upon its hinges. But all we might each know by the power of God that change made known, and it shall be made known, it shall be seen. Where there is that new and living desire, regeneration, a changed heart, and renewed will, and the feet turned to Zion's hill. And we plead then to remember each one this night, remember those that are away at this time, bring them back in peace and safety. And Lord, we plead, we plead for our sister in the faith, to remember her still. We thank thee for those that measure of restoring and building up again in that measure of strength. Lord, go on to be gracious unto her and favour her in her home this night. favour her with thy presence. May she feel those everlasting arms underneath her. May she feel those everlasting arms of the God of Jezreel. And that God, thou art that God that thou hast declared of thyself from everlasting to everlasting. Unchangeable. Unchangeable in his love. Unchangeable in his mercy. And if we're found amongst the trees of thy planting, that love will never change. And that promise will be true. I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So to remember how we plead. Remember those with their family duties. We plead for them and the little ones. Or to remember them there amidst the busy scenes perhaps of preparing our children for bed. And perhaps in this warm weather it is perhaps not so convenient for rest. They may become fretful and uneasy. Lord, grant the parents that help, we plead. And, O Lord, as we also find that the warmth which thou hast sent upon the earth, and we know it is seasonal, we thank thee for it, but how it takes us by surprise and it makes us realise what poor creatures we are, and it wearies us both in body and mind and spirit, and especially towards the end of the day. But leave us not to murmur and complain, For thy word declares, and we thank thee that thy word does declare it, and there will be known and felt, it will be known and felt in the soul for the seasons, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat, shall not cease whilst the earth remaineth. And so as thou hast promised it as regards those things for man and beast, for the provision of food, we thank thee for it. And how those seasons are most necessary. We cannot do without winters. And likewise we cannot do without summers. All those seasons in their unity as they work one and follow on one after another. It brings about those times of springing forth. It brings about those times of growing on. It brings about those times of the ripening. And it brings about, yes, in the season of the year when there's a clearing up afterwards and a preparing ready for those things again to take place. All these things, are they not known and felt in the soul? They're known and felt in the soul. And so we plead to grant unto us each then that thankful heart. If we know a little of that in our soul's experience, but we would be thankful for those natural seasons. And so as we look upon the crops of the earth, do in due time, if it could please, send the latter rain for the swelling of the grain. The plants are still green, and there it will still have that effect. We plead that it might be so. And so the former rain needed for the germination, and the latter rain for the swelling of the grain. And so we plead that it might be yet that seen in due time, if it could please. For all these things are in thy control. Ah, yes, thou dost control the seasons, and thou canst send forth the rain if it should please thee. And so we plead do in due time grant that there might be a gathering in. That time hastens, does it not? Yes, that time hastens for man and beast, but also with us each, that time hastens. Time hastens when we shall likewise come to that end of our seasons here below, the end of that time appointed. And so we plead to prepare us each for that day. And often we quote those lines and we quote them again. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. And so we plead, do remember us now this night. Bless us each together. Do us each good and send none empty away. But all do grant that strength. That strength sufficient. For who is sufficient for these things, both in bodily strength, which is necessary, and in the supply of the matter, and that gracious enabling to speak the word. To speak the word as that instrument in thy hands. Lord, we plead then, grant this one help. How we felt so empty as we came back home from Rotherfield. How we felt we had nothing to read. But all we trust, thou dost in that moment give that to speak. And all as we soon knew that there was a time to depart, to come again to thy courts. So we felt led to read this precious chapter in thy word. Oh, may we prove there is that even there. It is a familiar chapter. But all there might be those things, both new and old. Yes, those things new and old that come forth from thy word. And blessed be God, thy word will never wear out or come to the end of its use. It will be to each generation. But shall we not prove again and again, perhaps one portion to one or another, is so used of thee? It is so used of thee. And perhaps there might be a time, even this night, the one that might not have heard, when this portion has been read or spoken from. But tonight is that appointed time. Thou art sovereign, and the work is thine, the power is thine. So we will now plead for thy help, most gracious God. Oh, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so we plead for the pardon of every sin. And all we've asked amiss, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are, God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, there will be a red address as helped in the prayer meeting, a red sermon in the morning service. And Mr. Timothy Kingham is engaged to preach in an afternoon service to commence at 3 p.m. And there will be no evening service. And next Lord's Day is a day appointed for our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship by singing together hymn 543, hymn 543, to the tune Chester 455. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way the church has trod, down from Adam's day to this. Jesus is the living way, all beside to ruin lead. They are safe, and only they, who are one in Christ their head. And I would just once again mention for verse 4, the true meaning of that verse, Jesus is the narrow way. Hagarenes have here no room. Hagarenes referring to the children of Hagar, the fruit of unbelief, the fruit of the work of the flesh, and that which is not of the Lord. Hymn 543, tune Chester 455.
Amen.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter we read in Jeremiah's prophecy, the 31st chapter. We'll read verses 27 and 28. Verses 27 and 28. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I've watched over them to pluck up and to break down, to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, as saith the Lord. That glorious prospect as regards the true child of God, that true Israelite, the Israel of God. Yes, the promise is here. I will sow. As we try to speak this morning, yes, let them grow up together, and so it shall be, but I will sow. And so there will be some of that heavenly planting by that heavenly husbandman, which is God. Yes, it shall be so. But as I briefly just turned before I left home, there's one word in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. So on the one hand, yes, Almighty God, that which he hath sown of his good seed, they shall grow up together with tares, they shall find it so, but there will be that care over them, that care over them to bring them home to glory through all at last. But as regards those which the Father hath not planted, we read this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up, shall be rooted up. But all the mercy, those of his planting, yes, those that he hath loved with an everlasting love, they are those of his planting. They are precious in his eyes, for they are bought with a price. And there shall be that time when that quickening work of grace will be begun in their heart, that place prepared for the good seed. And there shall be that which is that seed of his grace, that which takes place. It cannot come to nothing. Is that heavenly planting. That heavenly planting. But oh, what a mercy if we shall likewise prove where it speaks of Christ in that 61st chapter of Isaiah. And yes, we know that is regarding all the Lord's sent servants. They shall likewise go forth and preach that which is of the gospel, which came by Christ. But we read there in that 61st chapter, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now speaking of Christ, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, that which came by Christ. That which came by Christ through the offering of himself. As we often say, and what a mercy it was, so a perfect sacrifice. For he was a spotless lamb, and he freely gave his life for his church, his chosen, his bride, those trembling ones, those that feel to be less than the least. Yes, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Are you found as one of those mourners in Zion, mourning over what you are, mourning over your sins? Ah, yes, all those transgressions that have been shown to you, mourning over that one that you once despised and you now see such a beauty in him, such a beauty and suitability in him, which is this Christ. Ah, that same Christ. There's that time appointed unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. What a mercy then. Oh, may that be each one's portion. We might be found amongst the planting of the Lord. Yes, planting of the Lord. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness have I drawn thee. That time of planting, sowing. Yes, that work of grace begun in the heart, drawn by his sweet resistless grace, drawn by those cords of love, drawn because of that wrought in them, raises them from that deadness in which they were, raises them up, yes, with those cries and groans, and those breathings after the Lord. And so it will be. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness have I drawn thee. Yes, that drawing, and it speaks much of planting and sowing. That sowing and that leading, it's all part of that work of grace, which is in that, if we look at it in that way, as the one that sows a seed, there is that which takes place, that must take place. If it didn't take place, then there is no hope, but there is that which must take place. And as we read then, behold, I'll bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together, a great company, shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. And so on the one hand it speaks of that, we can read as regards the work of grace, that the planting of the Lord, but also as that one that gathers his sheep, as it also speaks in this same chapter, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and there is the certainty of it will. It's not may do, might do. It doesn't leave part to the hand of the sheep to do what they can, but he will gather them. He that scattered Israel. And yes, there was that which separated back, was it not, when Adam fell. And so, yes, he was removed from that the Garden of Eden. No more to walk with his God and commune with his God in the cool of the day. But oh, what a mercy. That which separated, there shall be also that, by the grace of God, that one redeemed, reconciled, redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and reconciled to his God, for he'll be brought to call upon his God. He'll be brought and enabled by the Spirit to name that name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be brought, will he not, to plead that name. He'll be brought to plead that name. That one he saw no beauty in before, but now it becomes unto that one the one thing needful. I without him perish must. So that's part of the supplications. And so they're redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Those sheep are gathered, that were scattered are gathered again. Ah, the shepherd, in that way doth his flock keep them, gather them, those who are scattered, and keep them, we'll look after them, do all that is necessary for them. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob from, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he, which is Satan. Ah, yes, they were once Satan's blind slaves, sporting with death, and cannot someone say it was so? In the light of that work of grace wrought in the heart, we were once Satan's blind slaves, sporting with death, and we knew it not. We knew it not. But, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat. So there is that which is produced, that comes forth. It is not that barrenness. That barrenness. And so in that garden of the Lord's planting, what a mercy if there shall be that, and there shall be. As we said this morning, it's some 30, some 60, some 100 fold if we look upon it just as wheat. And as it was spoken of there in that parable. But here we read, do we not? They shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. Ah, yes, I feel there will be that fruit found upon the bough. There will be that, as we have read just now, that which will be manifest. It's a solemn thing if one speaks of the name of God and of Christ, and there's nothing manifest in their life, nothing that manifests that work of grace, and therefore it doesn't show forth the praise of God. Yes, it can be that which is counterfeit. Counterfeit. As we said this morning, those tares look very much like wheat as they grow up. There's nothing, as it were, particularly different. They're a similar type of plant. But when it comes to that point where the fruit is found, if you can call it fruit, there is that which is not good. It is not good. And yet it may, to the untutored eye, be deceptive to them, but it will not be deceptive to this heavenly husbandman. Ah, yes, it will be cast out, it will be burnt, but that which shall come forth from that one, the one of his planting, there we read, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock, and their soul shall be a watered garden. Well, that is what comes forth from those former rains and the latter rains. It's necessary. And as we had it in our prayer meeting this morning, perhaps you feel, yes, I feel a measure of barrenness. And so it is, as we journey on at times, we find the things of time and sense, and those things which the world get caught up with, although lawful, they can bring such a barrenness upon the spirit. A barrenness. But all, yes, ask ye. Yes, and it brings us back to that word. And so that one, this is that spirit of grace and supplications. So joining the two together as regards the prayer meeting this morning, if you feel, yes, that measure of barrenness, yes, at times we find there is that barrenness, and that, and we feel it, yes, everything is dried up, and we can't even sing a song of praise, the harp is hung upon the willows. But all, like we had this morning, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. The latter rain. The former rain has brought about that which has taken place. But how we need the latter rains. We need those latter rains. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one. Grass in the field, that is that which comes forth, is it not? When the rain comes upon, perhaps one crop has been gathered in, the grass mowings, there is that which comes again. When that is, the rain comes again. And so there's a second bringing forth. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and for the herd, and their soul shall be as a water garden. A water garden. Yes, and as we look upon those things in nature, we see what a difference that latter rain can make. We've only got to look at our own gardens. We do not have to take much note of the farmers' fields, and yet some of us that have been involved with those things, it still catches our attention now. But what do we see? In a moment, the change overnight. When the Lord is pleased to send the rain upon the earth. What a mercy when in a moment the Lord hears out one pleading for the latter rain, pleading for that felt dew upon the branch. Yes, even dew. Dew upon the branch. Don't despise the dew upon the branch. But what a mercy when that poor one that pleads for the former. Yes, he's had the former, the rain, and it brings him to desire this, that I might have the latter rain. I might grow in grace and the knowledge of thee. I might have that latter rain to bring forth that fruit. That fruit which will be to the honour and rejoicing of our God and our Saviour. Their soul shall. And so these are those shalls and wills of Jehovah. Their soul shall be as a water garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. And so there are those words as we read them again this night. What a mercy. What a mercy it is so. These shalls and wills. I know I spake in prayer regarding the natural seasons. And Almighty God has promised concerning the natural seasons. We know in certain parts of the world there are those droughts and times of no rain. And some places it is a great deal of rain. But if we look upon the world in that average way, there is and has been and shall be, whilst the earth remaineth, that promise will remain true. Almighty God hath spoken it. So as regards that, for the benefit of both man and beast, it is also in the way of grace. Have you proved likewise those seasons in your soul? Yes, those seasons in your soul. And it reminds me of the hymn had for the prayer meeting this morning. But all perhaps you feel like that. Perhaps that language suited your soul this morning. Lord, afford a spring to me. Let me feel like what I see. My winter has been long, chilled my hopes and stopped my song. Winter threatens to destroy faith and love and every joy. If thy life was in the root, still I could not yield thee fruit. Speak. Ask ye of those, yes, those latter rains. Ask of the Lord those latter rains. Speak, and by thy gracious voice, make my drooping soul rejoice. O beloved Saviour, haste. And so there's an urgency to it. And when there's that, whereby there's that known and felt in the beginning of that work of grace, what a mercy. That which you've tasted and handled and felt, that will bring a desire. When a thirst is brought on, there's a knowledge and a remembrance of that which has quenched it before. And so there is that desire after it. And it will not be satisfied. The natural body will not be satisfied until perhaps it's just a cup of cold water. But the living soul, we desire those living springs. And we long once again for those sips that may fall from, the sips may come from that well of salvation, that which comes forth from that which is within. And yet at times of that felt feeling, there is that dryness and barrenness, but the Spirit, that is the Spirit within, that well of water springing up unto everlasting life, and the Spirit will hear and answer. It will not leave you to perish in the wilderness. There are many that perish in desert places. And so they do, naturally, when there is no moisture to be found, they soon perish. A body cannot go long without water or fluid. And neither can a living soul go long without once again, yes, that sip from salvation's well. Yes, David knew of it, did he not? But oh, speak, and by thy gracious voice make my drooping soul rejoice. O beloved Saviour, haste. So there's an urgency in it. There's an urgency in it. That one that has called you, that one has led you along thus far, that one that has, watered you, nurtured you, done all that is necessary, and there's been that springing forth and growing up. But like we said, natural seasons, cold comes. When we had that cold spell, not so long ago before this sudden warm break, you could see it in the plants. It changed their colour, the colour of their leaves, and they looked like they didn't want to grow at all. Has that effect? And when those times of coldness are known and felt, there's no coming forth. There's no song of praise. But blessed be God, the living soul will cry out again and again. It cannot be satisfied unless it tastes once again, unless it is favoured once again. Speak, and by thy gracious voice make my drooping soul rejoice. O beloved Saviour, haste. Tell me all the storms are past. On thy garden deign to smile. Raise the plants, enrich the soil. Soon thy presence will restore life to what seemed dead before. Yes, the showers and wills of Jehovah, therefore they shall come. They shall come and shall sing in the height of Zion. They shall prove it again and again. A water garden, he will water it. He will satisfy. He will make his word known unto you. He will come. Or have you proved it in the past? Yes, sometimes we trust we proved in those times and seasons. Yes. When, on the one hand, we wondered where the scene would end, and on the other, yes, where was our hope also? But the Lord has been pleased to speak. The Lord has been pleased to speak. And it is in that way when the Lord speaks, it is that sip. It's that sip from salvation's well. It is that sip that lifts up the weak hands and confirms the feeble knees. It's that sip that strengthens that one to go on. It's a waste howling wilderness. As we said this morning, round the outside edge of the field, there are those briars and thorns that perhaps you feel to be one of those plants on the outside edge. On the outside edge of the field where the briars and the thorns perhaps creep in from the hedge. But still under the watchful eye of the reaper and the husbandman. Yes, I saw a field the other day where they had mown round the headland. And no doubt it is to give a clean passage and to keep that which might be encroaching onto the wheat that was barley that was growing. They've mown this strip against the headland, against the edge of the crop, and no doubt to open it up to the light that the weeds and the briars and the thorns should not choke it or have that ill effect upon it. Ah, yes. I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. And so coming then to the text. Ah, yes, what a mercy. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass like that as I have watched over them. What a mercy, one that watches over. Yes, we look upon it as a fold of his sheep, of his choosing, the shepherd whose eyes neither slumbers nor sleep, his eyes are ever upon them, and his ears are open unto their cries. And yes, the shepherd has take great care of the sheep, especially at this time of the year. It can be this or that can overtake them in a moment, but this good shepherd, and same with this husbandman, at this critical time of the year, so it is. Do that which is necessary. Ah, that one that has planted it will bring about that time of gathering in. Bring that one, through all their scenes of life, proving, that on the one hand, tribulation, afflictions and difficulties, things hard to be understood, all these things threaten to destroy. They threaten to destroy. Oh, perhaps you know what a time of affliction is, a time of great difficulty. On the one hand it tries of faith, and in the midst of that trial of faith you begin to wonder whether your faith will stand the test of it all. My mind went this afternoon, I'll bring a third part through the fire. So there will be that third part which is brought through the fire. And when we think of that day of harvest, what goes into the combine at the front, and what comes into the tank, compare the amount of that which may come into the tank and that which is passed out the bank, much is not necessary, not needed anymore. Not necessary, not needed. The husk is removed, the stalk is removed. All that goes out the back. And these times and seasons which the Lord is pleased to bring upon his people, they bring about the same as that work, that threshing work. It's that trial of the faith to see what sort it is, and as much dross and tin to consume. Third part, bring through the fire. A third part. I'm not measured to see what it is that which comes into the tank or the combine compared to what that goes out the back. But when you look at the height of the plant, it is perhaps in that way just the last part of the plant, just a portion of the plant which is of any use. And then when you remove the husk from it and all that pertains to the ear, that which comes up through the middle to support the grains, even less is left by the time that threshing has taken place. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy. I believe that regards the way of that planting, that preparation. Yes, and perhaps some things have to be started again, like the potter when he goes to make that vessel,
And you see, it's marred, and he then forms it into a lump and starts again, and he will fashion it. And perhaps the husbandman, not we think that the heavenly husbandman, well, there'll be no mistake in the regard to the seed, but sometimes there is perhaps a poor quality to the seed, or the weather influences it, and therefore certain areas have to be sown again. But like as it is speaking of here, and so it will be that which he hath purposed to sow, and purposed a grace, work of grace toward them to bring them home to glory at last, as that shock of corn fully ripened in the, yes, not only in the ear anymore, but as that grain gathered into the garner. It shall come to pass, like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them, to build and to plant, saith the Lord. Ah, yes, what a mercy. Those whom he hath chosen, those of his planting. Ah, watch over them all the days of their life, and they will prove this. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And perhaps, yes, those storms come against you. And like Jacob, you'll say, all these things are against me. So I said, I had noticed some of the plants in the garden, the planted out, and that cold weather affected them. And you could see it affected them. A little sun, a bit of moisture. What a change. What a change. What a change. Those he hath loved with an everlasting love and with loving kindness will draw. Ah, there'll be that perfect nurturing. It will always be according to what you think. And no doubt, I don't know whether it happens much now, but I know that some used to try and make the wheat tiller more by rolling it or harrowing it at a certain stage and looked like it would damage the plant, but it brought about a tillering of the plant, which would then throw up more as it were independent plants with which would have an ear on the top in time. Ah, what a mercy. That which you may think is cross and quite contrarious, you may say, yes, like Jacob, all these things are against me. But I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. All must come and last an end, as shall please our heavenly friend, but the time is almost gone. Ah, and so those things which the Lord is pleased to bring into your path and mine, it may be painful at times, may be distressing to you because you do not fully understand it. No doubt the plant cannot make out why this rough instrument is brought over it. But there again, what a mercy when it brings forth more fruit. More fruit that shall redound to his honour and his glory, that his name shall have all the praise. So may it please the Lord, we might be found amongst those, loved with an everlasting love, kept by the power of God, nurtured along, that ever seeing eye upon us, that one that never leaves nor forsakes, that one that hears and answers prayer, grants those foremen the latter rains in their season. Ah, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast, and it shall come to pass, like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them, to build and to plant, saith the Lord. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 440 to tune Kinsella 167. Hymn 440. I read the fourth and fifth verses. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? 'Twas the same love that spread the feast that sweetly forced us in, else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. Hymn 440, tune Kinsella 167.
Thank you.
to be pleased to bless that which is of thee. Oh, that done in much weakness, oh, we plead that thou wouldest, by thy almighty power and strength, get thyself honour and glory and praise. And so we would seek that thou wouldest truly seal thy heart, thy word upon the heart. It might be that living word, that word of thy grace, that this one or that one might have a little hope raised up there amongst the trees of thy planting, amongst the wheat, over which thou hast that infinite care. Oh, we plead then, oh, the solemnity of it, if we should be found as a tear, to be gathered up to be burnt in that day, but all to be found amongst that wheat, gathered in, threshed out and gathered into that heavenly garner, that heavenly storehouse. Oh, we plead then that as we journey here below, we might be found amongst those that bring forth fruit to thine honour and thy glory. Some 30, some 60, some 100. There is a difference, but nevertheless there is that fruit. There is that fruit. And so we plead to send forth the latter rain. If it's one or another, they feel still the need of that former rain to bring about that full germination. Grant that likewise. But all the former and latter rain in their season, we thank thee for them. And so we would now fall into thy hands. Fall into thy hands, into thy kind care and keeping. Take us each to our homes in peace and safety. May there be something which remains, and that which is not right, blotted out from the mind, cover it with the mantle of thy forgiving love. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.